Follow the star to find Jesus. What a message that is for us this morning. You know, when we sang Angels from the Realms of Glory before, we sang a verse which I don't think I've sung before. And it says, though an infant now we view him, he shall fill his father's throne. Gather all the nations to him. Every knee shall then bow. What a fantastic verse that is. This baby Jesus is king. And one day he's coming to rule and to reign over all the earth. And we will reign with him. That's not what I'm preaching about this morning. I want to read to you from... Richard, thank you for editing that video. And well done. We've had lots of people on that. And that reminds me, we are waiting for videos. Christmas morning greetings. You've got 10 seconds. Send them either to me or to Amy. Amy's lined up to edit. We only have one so far. So we need some Christmas morning, happy Christmas greetings. 10 seconds at most. Because if you all do it, we'll be taking the whole time up with that. So make sure you send those in. Thank you. Okay, we're going to read from John chapter 1. It wouldn't be Christmas without reading from John chapter 1, would it? So we're going to read from verse 1 to 8, 18. And I'm reading from New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world, to the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. You know, as we gather this morning, and obviously this is the last time we'll gather before Christmas Day now, although we have a Zoom on Christmas Eve. If you're not aware of that, check out afterwards or email us and we'll send you the details. But we're just going to have some worship on Christmas Eve together. But this is the last time we'll gather, and I just thought, you know, why is it that we celebrate Christmas? In one sense, it's because of that verse we sang, though an infant now we view him, he shall fill his Father's throne. This is the incarnation. I'm going to nick a bauble from Haley's tree. Sorry, Haley. I'll try and put it back in the same place. I promise. You know, when we start to think about Christmas, we can only start to think about the plan of salvation that God has for mankind. When we have a tree in the house, these things originally, and you know, you can read what you like, but if you look right back into it, trees were brought in when they reenacted on Christmas Eve the salvation story, and they talked about the tree of good and evil and the fruit, the baubles we have today, they hung apples on the tree. And the tinsel, there isn't any tinsel on this tree, but the tinsel is the snake. And of course, the candles, which we now have got electric lights, were the light of the world. Jesus, light of the world. And so this tradition of bringing a tree in a house wasn't a pagan one. Pagans used to bring branches of trees in, but not whole trees. It's a Christian one, to remember this story of salvation, to remember what Jesus has done for us. And John 1 verse 5, we read already, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus, light of the world, shines in the darkness, and we see darkness all around us. But if this room were dark, and I had the one small candle, our focus would be there. Because the light shines and you cannot avoid it. It brings our attention to Jesus. And so on this tree is the story of salvation. Sin and man's rebellion against God. And, you know, in a sense, you know, we can talk about all the different sins that we could do, but the sin of man is trying to set himself up as equal to God. Satan said, you can be like God. And the temptation came and they said, yeah, we want to be like God. And they took that fruit and they ate that tree. Satan has deceived them, making ourselves the arbiter of right and wrong. You know, the person who decides what is right and wrong is not us, it's God. And yet, that eating that fruit of the tree was all about, if you eat it, you'll know the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll know all about what's right and wrong. And ever since that time, we as man have been trying to decide what is right and wrong. And it's not our right to decide that. God decides what is right and wrong. And too often, you know, in our society, there's an indignant attitude. How dare God tell me whether I can do that or not? And this thing rises up within us, that rose up within Adam and Eve after they ate that. Who says that's right and wrong? Because we want to put ourselves alongside God. And some people would say to the church, how dare you tell me what I do is right and wrong? And how dare we? How dare we tell somebody else what's right and wrong? Only God is the judge. And too often Christians are telling other people where they're right and wrong. And Jesus said, you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you talk about the speck in another eye. We have to look at ourselves and we have to say, God, as David said, and I've said several times in the last few weeks, show me if there be any wicked way in me. Don't condemn others. Look at yourself and repent of your sin. Don't condemn others and tell them that their lifestyle is wrong. Start to say, God, would you show me the things in my life? Because if we all do that, things start to change. We need to repent. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. And this is the attitude. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, we must submit to God. Sin is what's offensive to him. We don't decide. He does. You know, sometimes as Christians we get on our high horse about stuff. And we're almost like Pharisaical. We've decided that we're okay and everyone else is wrong. And this is what God says to the people of Israel. Because here's the thing. Singing songs of worship becomes sin. Can you believe that? if we don't do justice and mercy. That's what God said to the people of Israel. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. God is offended if you sing a song, but you don't live with justice and mercy. God is offended if you treat other people badly, as the people of Israel were doing, and then sing songs of worship. Come on. This cuts, doesn't it? Because it's easy for us to sing songs, but it's not easy for us to do justice and mercy and to promote righteousness and do the same things. And I want to call it out today. There are many churches and many in the church who perpetrate injustice while singing songs to him, and God hates it. So here's the thing to do, because we can say what's wrong, but here's the thing to do. First of all, Paul says, do what Jesus did. Copy his example. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus emptied himself. He came to earth, emptied himself of his glory and his power and the authority. He put it all aside. We've read that already in Philippians. He humbled himself to death on a cross so that we could be reunited with the Father. Because our relationship was broken down because of our sin, he came and he took our punishment and he did all of that. He humbled himself to those he had created. Imagine that. Jesus comes to earth, and Joseph and Mary are people that he created, and yet he humbled himself to them. And those around him growing up, you know, kids get told off sometimes and they didn't do anything wrong. And Jesus would have had that. You know, some of his mates were messing around and he got the blame. It happens, doesn't it? He humbled himself. How often we won't admit we're wrong in an argument. Our pride rises up. Yet Jesus, who was the one who was sinned against, humiliated himself. He made the first move to reconcile this relationship between man and God. What an incredible thing that is. And so in response to that, my second point this morning, Jesus humbled himself. We must humble ourselves. How stubborn we are. If Jesus holds out an olive branch of peace, he takes our punishment and all that we deserve, and then he says, come on, be reconciled to the Father, and we say, sorry, I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to still decide what's right and wrong. I'm going to continue to think that I am equal to God. And actually, we should have the same attitude that Jesus had, who humbled himself. We should humble ourselves. He's taken our sin and dealt with it. He's taken our punishment. But too often we're not willing to be humble enough to say sorry for the sin in our life. We're not willing enough to be humble enough to come to the Creator and say sorry that we have offended him by our lifestyle. Repentance is more than being sorry. You know that, don't you? Often we get caught and we say sorry for the consequence of our sins. We've all done that, haven't we? You do something you've been told not to do, especially as a child, and then you say sorry. But if you hadn't been caught, you wouldn't have said sorry. Repentance is about being sorry for the offense that you've caused and turning away from your sin. That means we come and confess our sin to God. Not when we're caught, but because the Holy Spirit does something in here and we're coming in repentance to confess our sins. Turn from your pride. You're not God and you don't decide. Humble yourself. Admit that you need a Savior. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, if on that day in the garden, Adam and Eve had done that, submit to God, the devil would have fled. It's what Jesus did when Satan tempted, isn't it? Submitted to God, and the devil went away. Just to conclude with this morning, Adam and Eve were told by Satan, you can be like God. And it's the sin of man ever since. You can be like God. And we're still there. People still want to be like God. They want to be famous. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be up there. They want to be worshipped. And that's the sin. Wanting to be worshipped instead of wanting to worship the Creator. Jesus told a story. There are two men in the temple praying. One of them says, God, forgive me, a sinner. The other said, God, I thank you that I'm not like him over there. And Jesus says the first one was the one who was justified. God wants from us a humble spirit, a contrite heart. We need to be like the first man, willing to ask God to forgive our foolishness and our pride. We need to bow to our King, submit to him, admit our need. God, forgive me, a sinner. We're going to break bread in a moment. I've left my thing over there. Sarah or Amy or someone, could you bring one of those over to me? Thank you. We're going to break bread together. And as we do so, and in a moment we're going to sing as well. We're going to sing that fantastic song, Light of the World, You Came Down into Darkness. But then let's just sing together. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. And this morning as we break bread together, as we the communion, and here we've got these things with a little wafer and a little pot of some sort of grape juice. At home, whatever you are, as we break bread together, let's say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Here's my sin. I lay it before you. Confess it to him and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. And as we do so, you know, as we break bread together, let's just do that together. And then as we drink this juice, we're remembering this is the sign of the covenant. This is the sign of the promise that God has made for us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you have made. Father, we thank you for Jesus who gave up his glory and honor, all that he had, and came to earth, made himself subject to those he created. And Father, we thank you that that sacrifice was made on the cross. Jesus gave himself for us that we could be free from sin and its consequences. And Father, we come before you right now and say, God, forgive us. We come to you and we say, God, we need you. We don't want to be like you. We want to be submitted to you. We want to be your children. We want to be part of your family. God, forgive us, cleanse us, make us new, we pray. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this fantastic covenant. Your promise to us that we are part of your family. We rejoice together this morning. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together, but Ian's on his way. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Opened my eyes, let me see. And as we get to that part, this is here I am to worship, however that is. You know, we've been talking about submitting to God. Maybe we need to kneel before him. Or do something that just shows your submission to him, your worship of him, honoring his name as we sing together.